I'm calling the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Finesse.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the South. Going down like we do each and every week. You'll never get it like this. This is audio shop talk designed straight for your eardrums. And we get it in and we get to all the way in right here on the Fix, because we talk about sports the way we talk about sports. All we're doing is bringing the barbershop, putting in audio, getting it in, how you talk about sports with your Uncle Willie, who got that one gold tooth in the front and wear them Kangols. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do it. Hey, housekeeping. The Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through their On the Shoulders of Giants blog, which is at www.ontheshoulders1.com, the book series, the African History Curriculum app, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel. So, and On the Shoulders of Giants also will come to your house, your classroom, your church, your community center, your family reunion, all that, and give African history information where it needs to be given to you, giving the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora, as well as cultural and historical stories that have been hidden for a long time. So if you want to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants, as I said earlier, visit www.ontheshoulders1.com. Also visit www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization. So we got a good show today. So today's show, I don't have a whole lot of topics, but it ain't the topics. It's the content. So as far as our topics, you know, we got to start off with our HBCU spotlight. And that HBCU spotlight will be shined at Brandon Parker and Devondae Kincaid, who are two players, HBCU football players, who are projected to be selected in the NFL draft. So we're going to shine a little light on those two brothers. I'm going to give updates and analysis and my thoughts on the NBA playoffs. And then we're going to break down this NFL draft. You know, I done gave you like the first four, but we're going to go through the whole draft. We're going to go through at least the whole first round, right? Breaking down team by team, and we got some player analysis and things like that, so player ranking. So we're looking at teams, we're looking at players, looking at how things match up. And, you know, we're going to spend some time on that. And our weekly rant is aimed at DeAndre Francois, which is the quarterback at Florida State University, because apparently he got caught with weed and threw his girlfriend up under the bus. So that's how we're going down today. That's how it's getting down. So as you know, let's start off with our HBCU spotlight. Let me read this headline for you. Pro Football Focus mock draft projects Brandon Parker and Devondae Kincaid will be selected. All right. So this article messed up already. They left out words, but I'm gonna insert words. There will be a lengthy wait, but expect witnesses expect to witness a couple of former HBCU players come off the board at some point during next week's NFL draft. This is the assessment according to a recent Pro Football Focus 7-round mock draft, which has North Carolina A&T offensive lineman Brandon Parker and Grambling State quarterback Devontae Kincaid being taken in the later rounds of the draft, and that will be held at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And that's April 26th through the 28th, so that's the NFL draft. And the AT&T Stadium is the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, if you ain't know that. So forget Jerry Jones. So. With the 151st pick in the fifth round, Pro Football Focus has Parker arguably the best offensive lineman in the FCS going to the Minnesota Vikings. All right. So here is draft analysis, Sam Munson's evaluation on the 6'8", 310-pound Parker, a two-time MEAC Offensive Lineman of the Year award winner. Few players in this draft have the kind of movement skills that Brandon Parker possesses. There are plenty of question marks, but the Vikings take a chance on the rare athlete with phenomenal potential. It will be two consecutive drafts that Grambling will have a player selected, with Kincaid projected to land in the seventh round to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Ole Miss transfer had two solid years at Grambling State, throwing for 54 touchdowns compared to just 8 interceptions during his time with the Tigers. What separates Kincaid and makes him viable for the second-to-last pick is his shiftiness with the ball in his hands, not only on carries, but buying time in the pocket and extending plays. He is well worth the project here to sit behind Winston Fitzpatrick as a Wildcat quarterback or even to switch positions entirely. In 2017, four HBCU players, Tariq Cohen, Jalen Ware, Chad Williams and Grover Stewart were taken in the NFL draft. So last year was two. This year it was four. So we got Grambling State, who could potentially be sending somebody to the NFL, as well as who they say he played for? North Carolina A&T. So now think about it though. Over the last episodes of The Fix, from like the middle episodes of season one to now, how much we've been talking about North Carolina A&T, especially during football season, talking about North Carolina A&T, talking about Grambling. So these two schools, here they go again. They played in the HBCU championship game. Here these two schools go again, sending players to the draft. So, all right, man, one time for these men. One time for Brandon Parker, one time for Devontae Kincaid. Brandon Parker being that offensive lineman stud, and Devontae Kincaid being the playmaker, athlete, quarterback. And he came from Ole Miss. I ain't no transfer from Ole Miss. Okay. So that's what's up. So these two players have a good chance of landing, of being landed by teams in the NFL draft. So they're saying – Brandon Parker could go to the Vikings. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers could use some linemen too now. So, but, man, that's how HBCU spotlight. That's how we do it. So, as always, you know, the little man in the shirt and the audience, y'all get up off y'all feet, and we're going to show some love to Brandon Parker and Devontae Kincaid for putting it down on the gridiron they time while they was in college, and now making sure they get found on the draft board of these NFL teams. They can go to the NFL draft and play NFL football if that's what they choose to do. One time, gentlemen. Well done, gentlemen. Well done, well done, well done. Just remember that this is a business and you are mercenaries, and it is not your job to get your feelings caught up in these teams. Don't get your emotions caught up in these teams. Talk about, they don't love me no more. They cut me. It's a business. They don't have to love you. It's all about mercenaries. So there it is, man. That's my HBCU spotlight. Brandon Parker and Devontae Kincaid will most likely be picked in the NFL draft. All right, so I want to transition to talk about some NBA. These NBA playoffs are here, and it's a lot of surprises. A lot of things happening that we thought was going to happen, but it's a lot of surprises. So we're going to talk about the things that we thought was going to happen, and, you know, we're going to talk about these surprises.
So let's start off in the Eastern Conference. Let's start with the Raptors and the Toronto Raptors, who's the number one seed, versus the number eight seed Washington Wizards. And the Raptors are up 2-1 in this series so far, with the game coming up to play. And, you know, these are two teams that have the potential of breaking through. But for some reason, they ain't broke through. For some reason, John Wall hasn't hit that next level. For some reason, Bradley Beal hasn't hit that next level. I don't want it to seem as if I'm saying these gentlemen ain't good, ain't all-stars, because they are all-stars. But they not next-level all-stars. And same thing with the Toronto Raptors, with DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan and what's the other boy's name? Y'all know who I'm talking about. But the Toronto Raptors, though, I mean, they have – these two teams have talent, man. They definitely have talent. But it's – I don't know, man. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, these are the lineups. These are the lineups of both teams, right? So Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Serge Ibaka, Anunoby, and Valanciunas. Now, not, you know, the Ford and center, Valanciunas and Anunoby, Anobi, whatever their name is, they ain't the greatest, but with DeRozan, Lowry, and Ibaka, you expect more from the Raptors. So look at the Wizards, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Markieff Morris, Marcin Gortat. Experience on this team, Gortat been around for a minute. Remember, Gortat was around when Orlando was making their run, when Orlando went to the finals. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't like, and Markieff Morris ain't like somebody who just walked into the NBA. Morris got skilled, him and his twin brother. They got skilled. I'm not saying they next level all-stars, but they got skills. You got pieces. So you got teams, two teams with at least two all-stars. But these teams, you know, they seem not to be historically not to have taken that next step. But in this particular playoff, you know, the Raptors are up 2-1 on the Wizards, which I expect. I expect the Raptors to win this series. I really don't expect the Wizards to really take over the Raptors on this one. It's just me, man. I don't know, man. I just think the Raptors have too much for the Wizards as far as the total 7-game series. So this last game that they played, John Wall had 28 points, 6 rebounds, 14 assists. Kyle Lowry for the Raptors had 19 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. The Wizards got a win. They got a 122-103 win. Like I said, I just expect the Raptors to win this. I think the Raptors are a better team than the Wizards. I just don't see the Wizards beating this Raptors team 4 times. I don't. So, I mean, I just don't, man. John Wall, to me, is in that class that Derrick Rose was in when Derrick Rose was MVP. But, yeah, Chicago, you know, Derrick Rose is very athletic doing this thing. And I think John Wall was a little better. He got a better shot, so, and he's more durable. But still, to take that next level, I think they're missing a piece. I think they're missing a piece. Both these teams are missing a piece to take that next step. Now, the Toronto Raptors are in a good spot to make some moves in this Eastern Conference playoffs, especially with the Indiana Pacers being up 2-1 on the Cavs, right? We wasn't expecting the Cavs to be down 2-1 on the Pacers. But the Cavs players are playing hot garbage. So the Toronto Raptors are in a good position to make moves in this playoff. They just need to go ahead and take care of business with these Wizards. Now, the Wizards may come out fighting. They play again Sunday. You know, play it again Sunday on. And the Wizards may come out fighting again because the series is now in Washington. So I do expect the Wizards to come out fighting, but I do think that the Raptors will take game 3. I think DeRozan, Lowry, and Ibaka are going to come out firing. And I do expect John Wall and Bradley Beal to come out doing their thing, but I just expect Lowry and DeRozan and Ibaka to just bring a little more to the table. And the Raptors overtake the Wizards. I just think the Raptors are a better team. The Wizards do have pieces, but to me, the Raptors are a better all-around basketball team. And DeRozan and Lowry are just doing things a little bit different than John Wall and Bradley Beal. That's just my assessment. That's my opinion. So before I, you know, we're going to talk about the Cavs more, but then we got the Celtics and the Bucks. And the Celtics are up 2-1 on the Bucks. If you recall, I've already said that I thought the Celtics would win this series. So, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a very, very, very good player. The other night, he was hitting three-pointers better than I expected. He was hitting three-pointers. So, the Celtics going to take this period. The Celtics are going to take this. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks do have pieces. Like, let's not act like they don't have pieces. They do have pieces, but it's just, the Boston Celtics are a better team. That's just how I feel about it. So let's look at the lineups, right? So Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Aaron Baines against Eric Bledsoe, Tony Snell, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and John Henson. So even though the Bucks have Antetokounmpo, they have Bledsoe. They also have what's your boy from Duke that's always hurt? Dang, his name just escaped me. Y'all know I'm always forgetting somebody's name. But the boy, your boy from Duke, man, he was hurt, and he came back. He a pretty solid piece. I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna remember his name when I ain't recording this no more. Watch. I hate forgetting people's names, but the Boston Celtics are a team that's going to be scrappy, and they're going to fight. And you're not going to just step on the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are a very well-coached team. Brad Stevens is doing a hell of a job over there in Boston. Brad Stevens is doing a hell of a job because the Boston Celtics are missing their top two players, which is Kyrie Irving and Gordon. And I still have them as a team to at least advance to the second round of the playoffs and beat the Bucks, because the Celtics have the supporting cast that you want a championship team to have. They have that supporting cast. They just need the stars to be healthy, right? And if the stars can be healthy, the Celtics probably can do some damage, probably can win them a ring or something, or at least challenge one of the Western Conference teams. Now, you still got to beat LeBron. You still have to beat LeBron, but this year's Cavs team is kind of shaky. Now, I don't think this Celtics team may have enough for that LeBron team, but if they do end up playing, if the Cavs can get out of the first round with these Pacers, because it seems like the Cavs keep giving the Pacers their best, and the Pacers keep fighting. But before I get to that, though, the Celtics, they game 4, so the Celtics up 2-1 on the Bucks. So Celtics game 4 will be Sunday, April 22nd. So, you know, next time you hear from me, you know, I have more updates on this series. Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Dame Feast out for the season. Marcus Smart could be cleared. So the Celtics got a lot of injuries, man. The Celtics got heart, man. They got heart. They got heart, and they are up in the series. And being that they're up in the series, showing you what's going on up there in Boston. And like I said, I expect Boston to take game 4 and possibly, if not game 5, game 6 and take the series, at least 4-1 and 4-2. So let's move on. We got the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Miami Heat. And the 76ers are up 3-1 on the Heat. And Dwayne Wade is emerging. Dwayne Wade is playing playoff basketball, dropping in a couple 20. I think he had a 28-point game in game 2. and just had like a 20-25 point game in game four, even though they lost. And Embiid is back. Embiid came back game three. So Embiid missed the first two games. So the series would have been a lot different. I will admit, this series would be a lot different if Embiid isn't playing. Basically, the Miami Heat don't have nobody to stop Embiid. And that's the Heat's biggest issue is they really don't have anybody to stop Embiid. Simmons, they really don't have anybody that can really stop Simmons either. But at the same time, the 76ers don't have anybody who can stop Wade and, like, Olynyk when those boys are on fire. But the problem is Wade not going to play like that every game, right? So that's it. That's the thing, though. So I know Dragic balled out the other game. The Heat going to need more from – like, this is the Heat lineup, the projected lineup. Gordon Dragic, Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, James Johnson, Hassan Whiteside, you know, Wade coming off the bench and other fellas coming off the bench. But this one's over. Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Dario Saric, Robert Covington, Joel Embiid. This one's over. To be honest with you, the Heat may get one more win out of this. The Heat may get one more. But I don't see Miami being able to pull this one out, talent-wise. Miami is a good team, good scrappy team. Eric Spoelstra is a good coach. Miami is well coached. They play hard. They play good. But I just don't see the Heat pulling this one out against the 76ers with the way that, especially with the way Ben Simmons is playing and the way that nobody can stop Embiid. And if Dwayne Wade is coming off your bench at this moment in his career, you can't expect him to lead the team in scoring. Expecting that is you are not expecting really to win and be a true playoff team, a winning team in the playoffs and make a deep run. Because the Miami Heat have talent, but then they don't have that next level talent, that championship talent. They don't have that superstar, even though one would argue and say Wade, but Wade is that, you know, he's in this decline. Though he could pull things out every now and then, very crafty, very, very, very smart player, one of the best shooting guards. I have Wade ranked as the third greatest shooting guard of all time in my book, but he's on a decline. Injuries have took their toll on Wade, and the Miami Heat can't expect Wade to be their leading scorer or the one who's pulling the team to victory. Because, I mean, if so, then they're not serious about really winning. I mean, they're really not. Like, yeah, Wade had 25 points in 25 minutes. And so Dragic had, Olynyk had no points. So Dragic had 20, Johnson had 8, 15, Whiteside had 13, Richardson had 10, Johnson had 9, Wade had 25, Ellington had 10, Winslow had 7, Adebayo had 2. And so for the 76ers, Redick had 24. See, this is the thing for Simmons, though. Ben Simmons had 17 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 steals. You can't allow that to happen if you're really trying to beat this 76ers team, right? Because Ben Simmons is the spoke in the wheel, right? He's one of the most important parts. He may be more important than Embiid at this point. Ben Simmons may be more important than Embiid to 76ers at this point, being how he can get everyone else involved and how he can make other players better, and he can still get his even though he don't have a shot. So now that's one of the things that worry me about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Not that Embiid don't have a shot, but they're not great at the free throw line. So that worries me about them moving forward because the 76ers have the talent and the 76ers have the team to go to the finals. Let's just be real. They do have the team to go to the finals. But will they be able, will their weaknesses hold them back? Because Simmons can't shoot. Simmons shoot that thing worse than Antetokounmpo. Simmons can't shoot at all. We're talking about But it didn't even attempt the three-pointer, right, during the season. So, but, okay, so Embiid had 14 points, 12 rebounds. Saric had 11 points, 8 rebounds. Covington had 10.6 rebounds. Off the bench, Bellinelli had 10 rebounds, 10 points, 2 rebounds. Ilyasova had 10 points, 8 rebounds. Johnson had 8 points, 1 rebound. And McConnell had 2 points, 4 rebounds, right? So not only did the 76ers starters, every 76ers starter was in double figures. Almost every Heat starter was in double figures, though. So the score was 102-106. It was a close game. The Heat are not – let me just say this. The Miami Heat are not getting straight bashed, but they are. But they're not, but they are. Because the final score is game one, final score, 130-103. 76ers, game two, 113-103. Heat, game three, 128-108. 76ers, game four, 106-102. So they're getting their ass whooped. They're getting bashed, but they're not. Because they're into the game until a certain point, until the 76ers just overtake them and they can't hang with them anymore. So the Heat are that team who is some a couple pieces away. Maybe they can lure LeBron back down. Who knows? Who knows? So, speaking of LeBron and the Cavs, I'm very disappointed in the Cleveland Cavs and the way that they're playing basketball right now, because the Indiana Pacers should not be up 2-1 in this series. But they are. LeBron out there playing his ass off. He is. LeBron is playing his ass off, and the rest of the players act like they don't know it's the playoffs. J.R. Smith. This last game, J.R. Smith came to play. But you can't depend on J.R. Smith to be your second leading scorer. LeBron looks frustrated, and he looked like he might not come back to Cleveland, even though you know how I feel. I think LeBron shouldn't have came back to Cleveland anyway. Fuck Dan Gilbert. You know what I'm saying? So the Cavaliers starting lineup for game four will be George Hill, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, LeBron James, and Kevin Love. And you know, the Cavs are playing with their lineup as well. Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith have not been starting, but they are starting now. So then the Pacers got Darren Collison, Victor Oladipo. Now Oladipo been playing lights out. Oladipo know this is the playoffs, and he ain't taking no shorts, no losses. Bohan Bogdanovic, Thaddeus Young, and Miles Turner. So the Pacers come to play. Let's just put it like that. The Indiana Pacers come to play. They ain't with that bullshit like these Cavs are. So looking at game three, looking at this latest game, game three. LeBron James had 28 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. Victor Oladipo had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. So let's look at these team breakdowns, starting with the Cavs. Like I said, LeBron had 28, 12, and 8. Kevin Love had 19 points, 6 rebounds. George Hill at 13 points, 1 rebound. Jared Smith had 8 points, 5 rebounds. Kyle Korver had no points. Rodney Hood had 8 points. Jeff Green had 6 points. Larry Nance Jr. had 6 points. Jordan Clarkson had 2 points. These boys don't know they're in the playoffs. Now, Kevin Love been playing. And the last win the Cavs had, Kyle Korver showed up. But for the most part, Kyle Korver came back in game 3. Gave you a goose egg. So Bogdanovic for the Pacers had 30 points, 4 rebounds. Oladipo had 18. Thaddeus Young had 12. Miles Turner had 8. Collison had 3. Lance Stevenson had 8. Sabonis had 7. Joseph had 6. I don't know, man. I don't know. The Cavs, supporting Cavs have to come to play. They have to show back up. They have to show up, period, in this series. LeBron James has literally been carrying the Cavs in this series. They have. Like, this is game two. So LeBron had 46 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. Kevin Love, 15 points. Kyle Korver, 12 points. George Hill, 6. Jared Smith, 5. Like, Jared Smith got to get at least 10 to 12 to 15 points, right? But Kevin Love needs to be 2010. Kyle Korver got to get more. Kyle Korver don't play on defense, see. George Hill got to give more. Because these Pacers come to play. Hood, Clarkson, Nance, they don't know Tristan Thompson. We ain't even mentioning his name. These boys don't know they in the playoffs. And what's going to happen is Cleveland Cavaliers going to end up getting beat by these Cavs if they don't come back out in this game four and play ball like they're supposed to play. All right, let's move on to the Western Conference. So first game covering, first series rather, is the Rockets versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Timberwolves finally decided to get back in the series. They got a win in game three. And their game four is Monday. So, but the Rockets, I expect the Rockets to kind of sweep this one. But, you know how I feel about the Rockets, man. They got James Harden. They got Chris Paul. Their coaches might be D'Antoni. Those three have never showed that they have the gumption to get to that next level. We will see. They can get over the hump. Those three in particular can get over the hump. We will see. So, game one, Rockets won 104-101. Game two, Rockets won 102-82. Game three, Timberwolves won 121-105. Let's take a closer look at game three. Jimmy Butler had 28.7 rebounds, 5 assists. James Harden had 29.7 rebounds, 7 assists. Jimmy Butler could give more. Jeff T. could do more. The Timberwolves have talent. Jimmy Butler, Jeff T., Andrew Wiggins, the Big Cat, Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose coming off the bench, Jamal Crawford coming off the bench. I ain't no Derrick Rose, but Derrick Rose gave 17 points in this game three, though. So Andrew Wiggins showed up. Jeff Teague showed up. So Jimmy Butler had 28. Jeff Teague had 23. Andrew Wiggins had 20. Karl Anthony Towns had 18. Taj Gibson had 2. James Harden had 29. Chris Paul had 17. Clint Capella had 7. Trevor Ariza had 6. Tucker had 4. Eric Gordon had 15. Anderson had 12. Green had 10. So Joe Johnson didn't even make the stat sheet. Nene played for them. All right. But both of these teams are talented. But the Rockets just have, I think the Rockets have the mental edge on these boys, on the Timberwolves. I do. Because the Timberwolves do have the talent to challenge or beat the Rockets. I think they have the talent to. Now, will they do it? No. Because I think the Rockets have the mental edge on them. The Rockets come in the series as, hey, we're the best team. We're the better team. And the Timberwolves are like, hey, well, we're trying to show y'all where we at. I just think that mental edge helps the Rockets. I do see the Rockets pulling out this series. Timberwolves may or may not get another victory, but I do see the Rockets pulling out this series. How far would the Rockets go? I don't know. Me, emphasis on defense, looking at coaches and stuff, looking at D'Antoni. Maybe this is the year that D'Antoni, Harden, and especially D'Antoni and Harden get over the hump. Chris Paul has gotten to the top of the hill, not necessarily over the hump. So this is a series to look at. I'm hoping this is a seven game series because it's a good series as far as matchup with talent across the board. So Jimmy Butler keeps twisting his ankles and tweaking his ankles and stuff. So hopefully Butler can stay healthy. But the NBA playoffs, they here, man. And if you ain't ready to play ball, you ain't talking about nothing. So this next series is the number two Golden State Warriors versus number seven San Antonio Spurs. And the Warriors are up 3-0 in the Spurs. And like I said, I expect the Warriors to sweep this series. This is not the San Antonio Spurs I grew up with. They do not have Kawhi Leonard. And even if they had Kawhi, I don't know how much more that would help with this aging team, right? So the Warriors have won the games are going like this. Game one, Warriors 113, Spurs 92. Game two, Warriors 116, Spurs 101. Game three, Warriors 110, Spurs 97. So they play Monday. They play again Sunday at 3:30 on ABC. But you know, next time you hear me, I have more updates on this series. But Warriors, even though the Warriors don't have Steph Curry right now on the court, you still have three superstars on your damn team. So I don't want to hear nothing about the Warriors not being able to beat teams. Because you got three damn superstars on your team, right? Yes, Steph Curry plays an important role on your team. But you got three damn superstars on your team. So the Warriors should sweep this series. The Spurs just don't have it, man. Let's just be real, man. LaMarcus Aldridge, if he the best player on your team, y'all ain't going too far. LaMarcus Aldridge is a great second to third complimentary piece. But if he your best player, you ain't going that far. Right? So this game three that they played, Aldridge had 18, Patty Mills had 14, Rudy Gay had 11, Green had 9, Murray had 9, Parker had 16, Anderson had 6, Gasol 6, Berantis 5, Forbes 3, Ginobili didn't score. The Warriors, Durant had 26, Thompson had 19, Draymond Green had 10, Iguodala had 10, JaVale McGee had 6, Sean Livingston had 16, Cook had 12, Looney had 4, Nick Young had 3. Sean Livingston is a great six man, a great backup point guard. Sean Livingston, I like Livingston. I really do like Livingston. So the Warriors just got too much for this team, man. It's just got too much for San Antonio right now in these current playoffs. San Antonio is going to get swept. They're getting swept. And San Antonio Spurs are going to join the Portland Trailblazers. Now, the Portland Trailblazers have already been swept by the New Orleans Pelicans. And Anthony Davis out there looking like, goddamn, Wilt Chamberlain mixed with Bill Russell out there, man. Bowling. And I wasn't expecting that to happen. The Portland Trailblazers being swept by the New Orleans Pelicans. Nobody saw that one coming. At all. Nobody saw that one coming. I thought at least I didn't think the Pelicans would win this series coming into the series. I did not think the Pelicans would win this series. But not only did the Pelicans win this series, they swept the series. Nobody expected that. Nobody expected that. Now, we know Anthony Davis is a beast, but dang. Like, I don't know, Teddy boy, Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, John Wall, Bradley Beal, to me, all them boys in the same class. They missing something. They missing that dog, that extra little dog, something that Kobe got, that LeBron got, that extra little dog, that little extra switch, that NOS attachment to just boost that shit to that next level. These boys are all-stars, but they're not like super all-stars. But they got the skill set and the potential to be champions. And it just don't happen for these boys. Anthony Davis gave 47 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 blocks. Jrue Holiday had 41 points, 8 assists. Monroe had 14 points, 1 assist. These the Pelicans. Mirotic had 10 points, 1 assist. Rajon Rondo had 7 points, 16 assists. You can't let Rondo do that. Rondo was looking to pass. Rondo wasn't even trying to score. All Rondo was, y'all might not like Rondo. I like Rondo. Like, Rondo is one of those point guards that I like. Like, But just understand, when you have a point guard like Rondo on your team, your 2 through 5 need to be scoring. So however the makeup of who your first score through your fourth score, they all need to be double-digit people. They all need to be scoring at least 10 points if you got Rondo on your team, because he's going to get them the ball now. But he ain't looking to score. He ain't. So C.J. McCollum had 38. Aminu had 27. Dame Lillard had 19. Nurkic had 18. Turner had 15. Baldwin third had 2. I mean, 3. Collins had 2. Davis had 1. But Anthony Davis, man. Anthony Davis is a special player. Definitely, definitely the best center in the game. And they are moving on to the second round of the playoffs. And they waiting on, who they waiting on? They should be waiting on the winner of the, what's this next series? Of the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Utah Jazz. So the Pelicans should be waiting on the winner of that. And then after the Warriors sweep the Spurs, they're going to be waiting on the winner of the Rockets and Timberwolves. They should be. I'm not sure. I got to go back and look at the whole breakdown of the bracket thing. But all right, so let me see. So, yeah, the winner of the – okay, so my bad. The winner of the Pelicans – well, the Pelicans are waiting on the winner of the Spurs-Warriors. So, basically, the Pelicans are going to be waiting on the Warriors, and the winner of the Thunder-Jazz gonna have to play the winner of the Rockets and Wolves. So basically they put it to where the Rockets and the Warriors will meet in the conference finals potentially. So do the New Orleans Pelicans have what it takes to beat the Golden State Warriors? We will see. That I doubt. But I also doubted the Pelicans beating the Trailblazers. And not only did they beat them, they swept them. They swept the Blazers. They swept them. And Anthony Davis led every bit of the way, and Drew Holiday was down there balling with, right? Rondo out there getting his assist on. And the game was real chippy yesterday, too. The game, them boys trying to NBA fight a couple times. Of course, you know, that's why I say NBA fight ain't a real fight, but the NBA playoffs, man. So let me talk about this last series, the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Utah Jazz. And the Utah Jazz are up 2-1 in this series. The Oklahoma City Thunder pissing me off. Donovan Mitchell is making his case for rookie of the year like a mug, just like Ben Simmons is. Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons, man. Nobody expected Donovan Mitchell. We expected Ben Simmons, but nobody expected Donovan Mitchell. And right now, Donovan Mitchell got his team up 2-1. The Oklahoma City Thunder full of shit. There's no way they should be down 2-1 in this series to the damn Utah Jazz, but they are. So Ricky Rubio, game 3, Ricky Rubio was the leading scorer. He had 26 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. So Rubio came through with a double, triple-double. Westbrook had 14 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, right? So let's go with the Jazz first. So Rubio had 26 points, 11 rebounds. Donovan Mitchell had 22 points, 11 rebounds. Ingles had 21.3 rebounds. Gobert had 18 points, 12 rebounds. And Favors had 11 points, 5 rebounds. Off the bench, O'Neal had 7 points, 1 rebound. Jay Crowder had 4 points, 1 rebound. And Exum had 4 points, 2 rebounds. The Thunder, Paul George had 23 points, 2 rebounds. Westbrook had, his 14 points, 11 rebounds. Carmelo Anthony had 14 points, 4 rebounds. Corey Brewer had 9.6 rebounds. Steven Adams had 8 points, 2 rebounds. Raymond Felton off the bench had 14 points. Patterson had 8 points. Grant had 7. Ferguson had 3. Hester's had 2. I'm not sure what's going on with the Thunder, man. The Thunder, I don't know, man. Paul George, Carmelo, Westbrook, they play when they want to. It worked when they want it to work. A lot of times Westbrook will get caught up trying to be the hero. Westbrook does have a history trying to be the hero, trying to do too much, and the team does lose. I don't know, man. I thought that this team could be a team who could possibly potentially challenge the Warriors, but I don't know, man. I don't know. If they come out of this series, will they even be able to handle the Rockets? So the Rockets gonna beat the Wolves. But I don't know about these Thunder, man, about these Oklahoma City Thunder. They're full of shit, man. That's all I do know. The Oklahoma City Thunder is full of shit. And they don't play with heart like they're supposed to. So they're down 2-1 to the Thunder. I mean, to the Utah Jazz, excuse me, the Oklahoma City Thunder is down 2-1 to the Utah Jazz. So game four is Monday, and we're going to see what happens. We're going to see if the Thunder can get back into this series like they're supposed to. If they can stay in this series and be the aggressor and take the lead and come out with the victory. That's what we're expecting. If not, then it'll be Utah Jazz versus the Houston Rockets. And they might as well go ahead and LeBron and Paul George hook up. Because, yeah. And I do think LeBron is – I don't know if the Cavs are going to go to the finals this year. I don't know. But I feel like LeBron's leaving. I do feel like – and I think LeBron should leave. Fuck Dan Gilbert. I feel like LeBron should leave. So that's just where I'm at, man. That's really where I'm at with this. So, but that's the NBA. That's the NBA. And the playoffs are here. The playoffs are here. And this is where it get real. And if you ain't about real basketball, you shouldn't be watching the NBA. We're separating the real from the fake. We're separating the ones who got heart from the ones who ain't got no heart. So, if you ain't got no heart, man, this ain't for you. Show that for you, Ryan Hill. But now we're going to make our transition to the NFL draft and give you a little breakdown. We're going to break down this draft and look at some of these players and where they could go and how these teams could potentially pick their teams. And we have player rankings by position. So, let's do what we do. Let's talk about this draft. So we know, like I already showed you, Cleveland Browns had the first pick, New York Giants had the second pick, Jets have the third pick, Browns had the fourth, Broncos fifth, Colts are sixth, the Bucks are seventh, the Bears are eighth, 49ers nine, Raiders are 10, Dolphins are 11, Bills 12, Redskins 13, Packers 14, Cardinals 15, the Ravens are 16, the Rams are 17, Seahawks are 18, Cowboys are 19, Lions are 20. So the Bengals got 21st pick, the Bills got 22nd pick, the Patriots got 23rd, Panthers got 24th, Titans got 25th, Falcons got 26th, the Saints have 27th, Steelers have 28th, Jaguars have 29th, the Vikings are 30th, the Patriots have 31st pick, and the Eagles have the 32nd pick. So Patriots got 2 first-round picks. Hey, who knows? So let's look at this. Let's look at this team by team real quick and seeing what the teams need, to break down the teams, what the teams need, and then looking at the different players, and seeing what players could fit them. And then also looking at each player ranking, because I'm going to break down these players. So we got player rankings. Now, this is according to CBS Sports, player rankings by position. I don't agree all the way around with these things because this – I'm just giving you an example. As far as QB rankings, they have Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Kyle Lauletta from Richmond, Woodside from Toledo, Mike White from Western Kentucky, and so on and so on and so on. So, for me, you already know, Baker Mayfield, one. Then I would possibly go with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Rosen, then Darnold. That's what I would do. And then Mason Rudolph would be behind those guys. I just think Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in this draft. But let's look at these teams. So, Cleveland Browns, we already went through the Browns. Matter of fact, we went through the Giants, went through the Jets, and the Browns the Broncos. So we're going to go start with the Colts and the Bucks. So the Indianapolis Colts, we know quarterback is one of the issues. They have Andrew Luck, but Andrew Luck stay hurt. So if they would be smart, if they could catch a quarterback, they could get one. But they say their top needs are edge rusher, linebacker, outside linebacker, wide receiver, and defensive tackle. So, give this breakdown. The Colts are switching to an upfield 4-3 attack on defense. I like 4-3. I like 4-3 defense. An edge rusher and a 3 technique will help with that transition. They simply don't have the talent they need at inside linebacker and will have to try to add talent at the position. The offensive line is clearly not where it needs to be right now. Tackle and guard are considerations. Wide receiver appeared to be a strength a few years ago, but it isn't the case any longer. So that's what they're talking about. Now, we're talking about linebackers. We're talking about linemen, things like that. Now, we know what's the guy? Quentin. The lineman Quentin from Notre Dame, he is highly sought after. Definitely Quentin Nelson, right? Highly sought after as far as guard play. So if they, as far as the Colts, when we're talking about linemen, if they're looking for guard play, if Nelson is still on the board at 6, I'm not sure Nelson would still be on the board at 6. He could, because the Giants could possibly take Quentin Nelson at 6. Just to recap, the Cleveland Browns, their needs are quarterback, cornerback, offensive tackle, safety, and wide receiver. But if Saquon Barkley is on the board, they could possibly take him, or the Giants. The Giants, I really do believe that the Giants might pick Saquon Barkley with that second pick. If they don't pick like a Bradley Chubb, because they could get Bradley Chubb. Now, the strength of the New York Giants is their defense. Their offense sucks. So Quentin Nelson could also go to the Giants. So let's look at that, because Quentin Nelson could be the second pick overall. Because the Giants are in a unique position to get either Nelson, Barkley, one of these quarterbacks. I would say Baker Mayfield, but I think Josh Allen, either Allen, Darnold, or Rosen may go to the Browns. That's what I believe. Either Darnold, Allen, or Rosen will go to the Browns with the very first pick of the draft. Most likely, maybe more Allen than Rosen or Darnold. But I would say those three. Just seeing what the Cleveland Browns are doing, I don't think Baker Mayfield would be somebody that they pick up. Now, maybe the Giants, if the Giants go after quarterback, I think more so Rosen or Darnold. May not necessarily be Allen, but more so Rosen or Darnold, but you know how I feel about that. But also, I would say stick with Eli for right now. Get you a Quentin Nelson, sew up that offensive line, or get you a Saquon Barkley and have another weapon out there. Because remember now, Dez Bryant was cut by the Cowboys, and there are rumors out there that the Giants could pick up Dez Bryant. So if you have Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham Jr., Dez Bryant, and Saquon Barkley that Eli Manning is throwing the ball to, we all know if you put Eli Manning in the right positions, Eli can lead your team. Now, the Giants do have offensive linemen needs. So the Giants can get another running back in this draft. You know, you got Chubb, you got Geis, you got Sony Michel. So those are three other running backs that are coming out. But, you know, the Giants got options. The Giants have options, though. So for the Jets, quarterback, edge rusher, offensive guard, offensive tackle, wide receiver. For the Jets, the Jets' priority is quarterback. So Allen, Rosen, Darnold, or even Mayfield could go to the Jets, or even Lamar Jackson. The dude from Texas Tech, quarterback Texas, I don't really see him like that. But as far as offensive guards, because let's just looking at these guards. So got Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, got Isaiah Wynn from Georgia, got Will Hernandez from UTEP, that Braden Smith from Auburn, Wyatt Teller from VTech, Tyler Hearns from Clemson, Kobe Geisler from Appalachian State. So those are like top five, six, seven offensive guards. Quentin Nelson, according to CBS, is ranked as the third best player. Isaiah Wynn is the 21st. Will Henderson is 24th. Braden Smith is 39th. So you got at least the top four offensive guards are ranked high, So, but when we talk about the Jets, though, the Jets need to start off at quarterback, right? And starting off at quarterback, the Jets will help them. Now, like I said, I wouldn't get Mason Rudolph. I wouldn't draft Mason Rudolph first round. Me personally, I wouldn't. If I'm the New York Jets, I'm looking at Baker Mayfield. Y'all know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. If I don't get Baker Mayfield, I'm looking at Josh Allen, right? Now, the Jets do have Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. So if they get someone like either quarterback that they get, Rosen, Darnold, Allen, Mayfield, Rudolph, Jackson, any of those six, it's a potential bridge. It's a potential bridge between McCown and Bridgewater. Now, we don't know what Bridgewater is. Now, Bridgewater may come back and be that dude. That the Jets need and be that quarterback so that other pick could be used as trade bait and all these other things. But the Jets' main thing is quarterback, right, for me. Then we know that strength is this defense. From my understanding, they no longer have Muhammad Wilkerson. So I don't think they'll address defensive line like that as far as defensive interior line like that this point in draft. But if you talk about edge rushers, so let's look at edge rushers. Like, let's look at who they have ranked as the best DNs. And so, of course, Bradley Chubb, Okoronkwo from Oklahoma is, according to CBS, is the second best ranked DN. Marcus Davenport from UTSA. I guess that's Utah State. I don't know. Josh Sweat from Florida State. Josh Sweat is a decent edge rusher. Harold Landry from Boston College. Duke. Ejiofor from Wake Forest. Jeff Hylands from Auburn. Arden Key from LSU. Lorenzo Carter from Georgia. So this defense, this year's draft is not steep with great edge rushers, but So let's look at the offensive tackles real quick, because that's another need for the Jets, right? And so top-rated offensive tackle according to CBS is Orlando Brown from Oklahoma. Then you got Colton Miller from UCLA, Connor Williams from Texas, and Connor Williams is a pretty good offensive tackle. Then Mike McClinkley from Notre Dame, Chikwuma Okorafor from Western Michigan, Tyrell Crosby from Oregon. So that's the top six ranked offensive tackles. So the Jets can look at, they should be looking at these guys. Then we're talking about wide receivers. This class is not steeped in wide receivers. So according to CBS, they have Courtland Sutton from Southern Methodist as the number one ranked wide receiver. And I've heard his name mentioned. James Washington, Oklahoma State. Michael Gallup from Colorado State, Marcel Aitman from Oklahoma State, Anthony Miller from Memphis. Now, really, see, they got Calvin Ridley as the sixth rank, and Auden Tate from Florida State as the ninth rank. They tripping with that one. We know Calvin Ridley a baller. We know that. Hey, Auden Tate from Florida State will be a good pickup for some team. He may not be a first round. Ridley is a first round. Tate may not be a first round, but Tate will be a good pickup because Tate was FSU's one of FSU's main weapons this past year. So let's not sleep on Auden Tate. But like I said, these are CBS rankings. But Calvin Ridley is definitely ranked too low. He shouldn't be ranked sixth. So, but let's move on. So those are the Jets. That's what the Jets need. Then we, but let's get back to the All right. So Tampa Bay Buccaneers pick 7. So with the 7th pick in the draft, now one of their biggest needs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers' biggest needs are offensive linemen and running back, but also cornerback and safety. So the Bucs have choices to make because you got Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis. They got Ronald Jones from USC. I don't know why they got him again, above Chubb and Michelle. Then you got Freeman from Oregon, Johnson from Auburn, Ballet from Arizona State, Edo Smith from Southern Miss, Mark Walton from Miami. But Ronald Jones II is from USC. So this is what the Bucs are looking at. But Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick may be available around this time as well, because Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick are two of the best safeties and two of the best players, period. Derwin James, to me, is one of the best overall players in this. But they need, the Bucs need cornerback help. So Denzel Ward from Ohio State is at the top of most people's board as far as cornerback. CBS has Josh Jackson as Iowa as one, and Jair Alexander from Louisville. Now, all three of these boys good, though. I ain't even gonna front. Jackson, Alexander, and Ward are all good, but Ward seems to be great, the highest overall as far as cover corner, shutdown corner. So we're gonna keep a look on that. But the Bucs could either go defense first or they could go offense first. If I'm the Bucs, I'd probably go defense first. I'd probably go defense, and if Derwin James is available, I'd probably get Derwin James. Or if Denzel Ward is available, may go Denzel or Minkah Fitzpatrick. But I would, to me, it would be between Ward and James, if those who are available at that point, because what's this, the 7th pick. So if the 7th pick, if either Ward or James is available for me as far as that defense. Now, they need defensive linemen as well. So, now the young man, the young defensive lineman, the one from Florida, it's been a lot of talk about him lately. What's his name? Taven Bryan. Yeah, Taven Bryan from Florida. There's been a lot of talk about him. And you got Maurice Hurst from Michigan, Vita Vea from Washington, and Deron Payne from Alabama. Payne is a baller. I will say that. Then you got Derek Nnadi from Florida State, McIntosh from Miami. It's a pretty decent D lineman in this draft. I will say that it's a pretty decent D lineman in this draft. So it just depends on what these teams need, man. Just really depends on exactly what they need. What are the biggest needs for the Bucs? Running back is a big need, but I think they should they possibly should address defense in the first round, because I think they can come back and get some running backs. I do think they can come back and get some running backs. So we'll see. So like I said, team needs running back, cornerback, defensive lineman, safety, offensive lineman. I think they'll be able to address safety and running back well in the safety running back. Or cornerback running back well, or defensive lineman running back well in the first two rounds. That's what I do believe. Because there'll be players available in the first two rounds. So the Chicago Bears have the 8th pick. They need cornerback, offensive lineman, edge, defensive lineman, inside linebacker. So, they got Mitchell Trubisky last year. The Bears are a special team, man. The Bears are a special, special, special team. And I don't know exactly what they're trying to do over there. I really don't. So, first, they got the 8th pick in the first round, the 39th pick in the second round, the 105th pick in the third round. I mean, they got a first round, second round, 2 fourth round, 1 fifth round, 1 sixth round, 1 seventh round. So, they have 5th, 105, 115 in the fourth round. In the 8th round, they got 145. 6th round, they got 188. 7th round, they got 224. They got 7 picks overall. Chicago Bears had 7 picks overall. So they're the eighth spot. That's the eighth seed in the draft. Cornerback, offensive lineman. So they have a potential of getting either Denzel Ward or your man from Iowa or Jair Alexander. So Josh Jackson, Jair Alexander, or Denzel Ward. The Chicago Bears have a chance to get, if cornerback is their biggest need. I doubt Quentin gonna be on the board at the eighth pick. Some of those edge, we know Bradley Chubb not gonna be there. So some of those edge rushers, you know, defensive linemen. I think defensive lineman has a good class, and then it looks inside linebackers. So let's take a look at these inside linebackers, who they have. So Roquan Smith from Georgia is the highest rated. Then they got, according to CBS, they got Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech. Then Rashawn Evans from Alabama. From Vanderbilt, they have Oren Burks from Penn State. They got Jason Cabinda. Got Michael Kaiser from Virginia. Christian Sam from Arizona State. So these are people that they got. So we're going to see how they go. So let's move on. San Francisco 49ers, they got quarterback. They need edge rusher, offensive guard, cornerback, wide receiver, tight end. So they're probably – San Francisco will probably address defense first. So they'll probably address the edge and the cornerback first, and they're in the position to get just that, what they need. Of course, they won't get – they're not getting Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb going off first, going off early. Probably the first 5 picks Bradley Chubb on. Because it's just, I don't see Bradley Chubb lasting that long. I don't. So the 49ers, if they get, they need to shore up defense. They shore up defense, get another guard. Then they need to go defense first and then look at some of these receivers. Because I don't know who Jimmy Garoppolo gonna be throwing the ball to. So tight ends and all those things. That's what the 49ers need. Oakland Raiders, you know, after John Gruden came in there cleaning house. So the Raiders need defense. Linebacker, cornerback, safety, offensive tackle, defensive tackle. So the Raiders have a good chance of possibly getting Minka Fitzpatrick or Derwin James, depending on how where they are on the draft board at this point in time. So we're going to see. So Let's move on. So that was the first 10 picks. So then we got the Dolphins at 11. They need defensive line. They need linebacker. They need quarterback, tight end, cornerback. I think Tannehill time about up. Yeah, so now, going back to these quarterbacks, the Dolphins, this might benefit the Dolphins with the number of quarterbacks that's available, even though the Dolphins pick 11. So, because you got enough quarterbacks. It's Rudolph, Jackson, Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Allen, right? So these top six, they're not going to go just like that. So the Dolphins could end up getting Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield. You know, I think Lamar Jackson may more so go to, like, Patriots or another team like that. Not the Packers, maybe not the Cardinals. Then the Cardinals got the 15th pick. They could possibly get one of these cornerbacks. We know the Redskins don't need one. The Bills need a quarterback. So Dolphins need defensive line, linebacker, quarterback, tight end, cornerback. So we'll see. I mean, we're gonna see that they lost. They lost Ndamukong Suh. They lost Jarvis Landry. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's up with these Dolphins. I don't know. Really don't care. Buffalo Bills, they got the 12th pick. They need quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver, safety, linebacker. The Bills are definitely going to get one of these quarterbacks, one of those six quarterbacks that I named. They're definitely going to get one. I just hope the right one goes to the right spot. I can see like maybe a Maybe a Darnold, Sam Darnold going to Buffalo. I could possibly see that. Sam Darnold going to Buffalo. They're not going to get Quentin Nelson. These receivers, let's look at these receivers one more time. So, Courtland Sutton, James Washington, Michael Gallup, Marcel Aitman, Anthony Miller, Calvin Ridley, Traquan Smith, Deontay Burnett, Alden Smith, DJ Moore. They say DJ Moore is probably the most explosive receiver in the draft. So, it's some receivers that people can get. So, the Bills' main thing is quarterback, offensive linemen. They need defense. But they do need receivers. Redskins need defense. That's what the Redskins need. Defense. Defensive line, linebacker, cornerback, offensive guard. They need defense. They need to stop, run, stop along the interior of the defensive line. They need a linebacker to be the captain of the defense. According to CBS, that's what they're saying. Outside this NFL.com. 14th pick of the draft. The Green Bay Packers, they need defense. They need defense and offensive line. Aaron Rodgers can't afford to get hurt this year. I'm not sure what the Packers did to sew up their running back spot. But I know their running back spot sucked. I know they lost Jordan Nelson, so they're going to need a young receiver. I don't know, man. The Packers could put themselves in a position to make a run. They need defense, though. They need defense. They need offensive line. That's what they need, defense, offensive line. Now, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 picks in this draft. The bulk of their picks are in the 4th through 7th round. The bulk of their picks. Now, they don't have Jordy Nelson, so that doesn't help them. But it do help the Packers picking this high, though. Picking at 14 to help the Packers. So they need defense, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, cornerback, but they need offensive linemen, and they need wide receivers, and they need a running back. They got the picks to get all that. Cardinals need a quarterback. They need a line, offensive line. They need cornerback, wide receivers, and safety. That's what the Cardinals need. They have Sam Bradford, but they should draft. Cardinals need to draft. They went 8-8 last year. They need the draft. The Baltimore Ravens got 16th pick. They need wide receiver, tight end, inside linebacker, offensive lineman, and quarterback. Of course, quarterback for the future. They're not in a dire need for quarterback right now, even though Flacco starting to get to the point where he'd be hurt. So a good tight end to bail Flacco out sometimes helps. They could improve their running back situation a bit, too. The Chargers need offensive line, inside linebacker, D-line, quarterback, and safety. So the Chargers looking for the future. They're talking about quarterback. So the Chargers should be looking for an upgrade over Russell Okung and Joe Barksdale at tackle. They have a fantastic set of edge rushers, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, but need to become more stout along the interior defensive line and inside linebacker. While it might not be an early round priority, they could use another young quarterback to groom, right? The Seattle Seahawks, they went 9-7 last year. They need offensive line, cornerback, defensive line, tight end, and safety. So interior stuff. They lost Richard Sherman. They lost Jimmy Graham. A couple linemen have gone. So The Seahawks have tried to fix the offensive line by throwing draft picks, and the Dwayne Brown trade at the issue, but they still need to improve at guard and tackle. Restocking that cornerback and safety spots are a priority after the release of Richard Sherman and with Earl Thomas due to become a free agent at the end of the 2018 season. Trading away Michael Bennett opens up a spot for a pass rushing defensive end, while tight end has become a need for the Seahawks. With the release of Jimmy Graham and Luke Wilson. All right, my team, the Dallas Cowboys at 19, we need a whole lot of stuff. We need defense. We need wide receiver. We need defense and wide receiver. We need tight end. They're saying we need offensive guard. We shouldn't need, but our offensive line didn't play up to his potential last year. So Adding a talented upfield defensive tackle with pass rush talent should be a priority despite the rumors about Dez Bryant's future. We know Dez Bryant is gone now. But Jason Witten getting old, and we just need everything. So wide receiver, defensive tackle, linebacker, offensive guard, tight end. That's what the Dallas Cowboys need. The 20th pick is the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions need defensive ends, tight end, running back, offensive guard, and linebacker. Give you a little information. The Lions placed the franchise tag on Ziggy Ansah, but they still need to add a disruptive defensive end. Eric Ebron is gone, and Luke Wilson is in at tight end. Eric Ebron was a big disappointment. But the Lions need to find a legitimate pass-catching threat at the position of tight end. Detroit simply hasn't been able to get a consistent running game. Part of the blame lies with the offensive line, which they need to fix. Get offensive line, that way the running backs can actually be running backs. And Matthew Stafford don't have to throw the ball 50 times a game, right? And so now we're going to the 21st pick. This is the Cincinnati Bengals. They need offensive linemen, linebacker, cornerback, defensive tackle, and quarterback. I guess they're starting to look ahead from Andy Dalton or to have a solid backup. The trade for offensive tackle, Cordy Glenn, helps on paper, but can he stay healthy? The Bengals should also be looking for help at the interior positions up front after averaging 3.6 yards a carry last year. They need more speed at linebacker and should be looking for a quick nickel cornerback. Cincinnati does a good job of restocking the defensive line. Could also do it again this year. With A.J. McCarron gone, finding a young quarterback to groom is a possibility. The Buffalo Bills, they need quarterback, offensive lineman, wide receiver, safety, and linebacker for their second pick in the first round. And this is the pick the Bills acquired when the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft. So the Bills got another top pick that they can possibly use to get a quarterback or a receiver or a safety. I think offensive lineman is something that they should address early. They could possibly get a quarterback because it should still be some quarterbacks available. Patriots could get a cornerback, a linebacker, safety, quarterback, offensive line. I think the Patriots may more so go defense. They may get a quarterback, a cornerback, or they may get a safety. So if Minka Fitzpatrick or somebody else is available, the Patriots could get that. Let's look at these safeties. At free safety, we got Minka Fitzpatrick, Justin Reed, Quentin Blanding, Tavarius Moore. I think the Patriots need a safety who could cover as well, because they were taken apart in the Super Bowl. They were taken apart. So Patriots. I feel the Patriots may go more so defense in this thing. Defense first. Carolina Panthers with 24th pick. They need wide receiver, they need cornerback, DN, offensive lineman, they need safety. They damn sure need offensive lineman, damn sure need wide receiver, damn sure need cornerback. That's damn sure what the Panthers need. And so the wide receiver spot must be addressed early in the draft. The Panthers are said to be looking for a leader and difference maker at safety. And they're still in need of help at cornerback after the free agent target, Breshad Breeland, failed his physical. The return of Julius Peppers gave the Panthers time to develop a young defensive end, and Peppers balled out last year, and I guess he's coming back. So the Tennessee Titans got 25th pick, and they need an edge rusher, inside linebacker, wide receiver, defensive line, offensive guard. They addressed the cornerback with signing Malcolm Butler. But once again, so finding a consistent edge rusher or two could go a long way in helping the Titans defense reach the next level. With the departure of Avery Williamson, inside linebacker has moved up the needs list. Tennessee used the first round pick on Corey Davis last year, but the receiver group could still use a big play threat to complement Davis. The Titans could use more depth on the defensive line and more talent at guard. This is considered a deep draft at the guard position. The 26th pick, we got the Atlanta Falcons. Their needs are defensive tackle, wide receiver, tight end, defensive end, and fullback. I ain't seen nobody need a fullback in a long time. I almost said Facebook, but fullback. They say FB. So the Falcons have a hold of field at defensive tackle with Terry Poe leaving for the Panthers. Ooh, wow. That's great. That, wow. I won't be surprised if Alabama at if Atlanta adds help for Matt Ryan and Julio Jones at wide receiver, especially with the departure of Taylor Gabriel. Adding a tight end at some point is more is likely with the departure of Teolio. While they might not look at fullback until a later round, there are a few decent ones in the draft. But Dontari Poe going to the Panthers, that's ooh. The Saints with the 27th pick need tight end, wide receiver, offensive lineman, quarterback, and edge rusher. So what they're saying is Kobe Fleener hasn't been the answer at the tight end. So the Saints could look for competition at the position. They have a good one at wide receiver. They got a good wide receiver, Michael Thomas. But the rest of the core could stand an upgrade. New Orleans Saints should be looking for a quarterback with the potential to be groomed under Drew Brees and offensive tackle Jermaine Bruchard, offensive a band-aid as a depth on the offensive line, but adding a young center or guard could be something that they need. Steelers with the 28th pick need inside linebacker, wide receiver, safety, running back, outside linebacker. So finding help at inside linebacker and safety are likely priorities this offseason. The Steelers place franchise tag on Le'Veon Bell, but the drama surrounding his contract might be enough for GM Kevin Colbert to consider adding a three-down back at some point this year. With Martavis Bryant entering his contract year, the Steelers could look to add another receiver to the team with Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown. The Steelers are hesitant to pick up the fifth-year option on Bud Dupree's contract. They could be looking for another outside linebacker in the draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars got 29th pick. They need a tackle, a linebacker, wide receiver, quarterback, and cornerback, right? So finding a swing tackle with position with the potential to move to right tackle is in play. As another guard, despite the addition of Andrew Norwell, the retirement of Paul Posluszny made linebacker a more pressing need. The addition of tight end Austin Seraphin Jenkins might allow them to push for a true number one in the draft. The Jaguars need to find help at QB, whether it's competition for Blake Bortles or someone to groom behind him. So at the 30th pick, Minnesota Vikings, they need offensive line, cornerback, safety, wide receiver, and tight end. The Vikings' offensive line simply isn't where it needs to be. At tackle or guard, the Vikings should be looking for help at the three positions early in the draft as they seek to protect their big investment in Kirk Cousins. Right. Cousins could use another weapon in the receiving core. Adding a nickel cornerback could be a strong possibility with Terrence Newman, who's 39, hitting free agency, and they could use more depth at safety. And they could be looking for a tight end who could be a receiving threat and complement to Kyle Rudolph. The Patriots got 31st pick. They got this is another pick that they got. They got 23rd and 31st pick. So the cornerback, linebacker, quarterback, offensive line, and safety. So they're going to address some of these defensive needs and that linebacker. Safety, offensive, cornerback, linebacker, and safety needs going to get addressed by the Patriots in the first round, in my opinion, or offensive line, since this is a pretty deep offensive line draft. They could get them some back. The Eagles, to round out the first round, the Eagles, they need a linebacker, tight end, running back, wide receiver, offensive line. The Eagles have re-signed Nigel Bradham, but Jordan Hicks has struggled with injuries, so the Eagles should be looking to at least add depth at linebacker. The departure of Trey Burton opens up a spot for a combination tight end via the draft. While trading for Jay Jay strengthened the running back spot, there is room for more depth at the position. Insiders believe the Eagles will make an effort to add an impact wide receiver in the draft this year. The offensive line is in need of prospects that can develop its future stars. So the Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Los Angeles Rams are three teams who don't have a first-round pick. So we're going to see how things go on Thursday. It's coming up. So Thursday coming up, remember, the NFL draft is upon us, and it's going to go down, man. And we're going to see how well these teams pick. You know, these are all projections that we're throwing out. We don't know who's going to do what or where and why and when or how. So we're just throwing out what we think. So Don't be like, oh, Joe don't know what he's talking about. Hey, man, I just told you what I think, my opinion. We don't know. Don't nobody know. Mel Kiper, Todd Mashay, don't none of these boys know. So we're going to see it when it happens. But remember, it's football, man, and it's the greatest sport on earth. Now it's time for my weekly rant. And it's aimed at DeAndre Francois. So not only as DeAndre Francois got busted with weed, but they got him throwing his girlfriend under the bus. He throwing his girlfriend under the bus. Under the bus. He throwing his girlfriend under the bus. Under the bus. Diamond Simone Lindsay is the girlfriend of DeAndre Francois. So let me read the article, and then I'm going to go in. So this is from TMZ Sports. More trouble for Florida. See how they started off, though? See how they started off? More trouble for Florida State QB DeAndre Francois, who was just busted for weed in Tallahassee and immediately tried to throw his girlfriend under the bus. According to the police report obtained by TMZ Sports, cops raided Francois's home on April 12th over a tip he may be dealing marijuana. Cops says Francois's girlfriend, Diamond Simone Lindsay, was in the house at the time of the search. If you recognize that name, that's because she's the same person who accused the quarterback of domestic violence back in January. Francois was detained while cops searched the place, but they ultimately determined there was not enough evidence to prove that he was out there slanging. This is what the article is saying. Cops did, however, find 17 grams of a cannabis tobacco mixture and items of drug paraphernalia on the premises and asked Francois for an explanation. Francois, being the quality boyfriend he is, tried to pin the whole thing on Lindsay. Francois attempted to minimize the culpability by saying that, hey, I can't smoke right now, and saying that the cannabis belonged to Lindsay. Cops ultimately didn't buy it, cited Francois for possession. FSU coach Willie Taggart says he's met with DeAndre and is handling the matter internally. As for the domestic violence case from January, the investigation was later dropped. No charges were filed. All right, DeAndre, first thing first, why do people know you smoke weed if you are the starting quarterback for Florida State University? Why are you having domestic violence issues? Why do you have so much traffic or so many people around you smoking weed that people think you selling dope? Now, I do think a lot of bitch-ass shit happened and some bitch-ass people snitching and shit. I do think that. So let me say that. I do think that. But nobody should know what you're doing, bro. If you're blowing trees, nobody should know what you're doing. And then for you to say, well, it's not mine. I can't smoke right now. It ain't mine. It's Lindsay's. So not only do people know you smoke weed, not only are you smoking weed, or are you in an environment where weed smoke is going on, but you in an environment with your girl, and when the police come in, you tell them that it's hers. Now, it may have been hers. It may have very well been hers. But weed should not even be in your environment at this point in time. And if weed will be in your environment, you need to be by yourself. You don't need to be in a position to where other people can be thrown up under the bus, or other people can suffer the consequences of your negative actions. You fucking up blonde tips. Now, I ain't say nothing about you putting these blonde and these brown tips in your hair, walking around with your colorful hair, looking like a little sweet golden lord, right? I ain't say nothing then. I ain't say nothing about domestic violence because I missed that one. Or I think I had another weekly rant that was better than that. And I might have touched on it. I don't even remember at this point. But I'm on your ass now, DeAndre. I'm on you now. You're fucking up. And it's time for somebody to tell you that you're fucking up. First of all, the color of your hair needs to be black. So stop dyeing your hair looking like you're a little suspect. Let's stop doing that because you do look extra suspect. All, matter of fact, all y'all boys out here dyeing y'all hair these colors, looking suspect. If you're over the age of 19 and you've actively dyed your hair because you thought that that was cool, you look suspect. I just want to let you know, you look suspect. So not only are you out here looking suspect, but you have domestic violence in your past, even though the charges were dropped, domestic violence is in your past. And now you are letting the whole world know that you smoke weed. And weed is illegal. But not only that, you are the starting quarterback for Florida State University, and you just allowing dumb shit in your environment. If your girl smoke weed, she can't smoke weed around you while you in your element. And we talking about a little bit before spring game, so we talking about around spring practice time. Ain't no, she shouldn't even be smoking up around you. You don't need weed around you around that time. You trying to be a top-notch athlete, fool. You play for Florida State University. And I understand that football players do smoke weed. I understand that athletes do smoke weed. I understand that. But what I am saying is, if you talking about being the best, you're talking about being the best. You don't need fuck shit around you in your environment. And I don't think weed will make somebody a less of an athlete. But me personally, I don't mind weed. I like weed. I like weed. I used to smoke weed, and every now and then, if I get me a chance, I might do it. I might blaze me one, right? But if I'm, like when I played football, I ain't smoked no weed. Even though I smoked weed, weed has always been a part of my life, right? When I was playing sports, when I was an athlete, matter of fact, anytime I got to take care of business, weed ain't around. That's just me. Anytime Joseph Ward had to take care of business, weed ain't around. I'm going to handle my business, and after I handle my business, if the situation allows and if everything is there, I might hit me one, a two, a three, but still. In his position as an athlete, as the starting quarterback for the Florida State University, to get caught with weed is some dumb shit. To get caught, because they talking about people have been dropping tips, and he's been under surveillance for a couple months. So snitching going on. Some snitching is going on. Some bitch-ass snitching is going on. I will admit that. Some bitch-ass snitching is going on. But why do people have enough information about you to snitch on you? Why do people know you smoke weed? That shouldn't be nobody's business but you and your weed man. Nobody's business but you and your weed man. And then when you get busted, it ain't mine, it's Lindsay's. Even if it is Lindsay's, you don't throw your girl up under the bus. So, Lindsay, you might need to get you a new man. I understand the position he in, so you might not listen to me. There's a good chance you ain't going to listen to me. But I'm just saying, Lindsay, you might need to get you a new man because he throwing you up under the bus on the weed tip. And it might have been your weed. And if it was your weed, Lindsay, if it was your weed, did you say it was your weed or not? I don't think Lindsay said nothing. But Frank Courts, you can't be throwing people up under the bus, but you threw your whole self up under the bus and the whole situation up under the bus because people know you smoke weed. Why do people know you smoke weed? Answer that question for me. Why do people know that DeAndre Francois smoked weed? That's the biggest thing to me. The biggest thing is nobody should know what you're doing. You should not have that much traffic or that much accessibility to you and your habits, especially something that's illegal in the state of Florida and also banned from Florida State as an athlete. You can't get caught smoking weed as an athlete in college football under NCAA rules. So let's not act like we don't know that. So under NCAA rules, you out here just blazing up like it ain't nothing. Bruh, you got to do better, bruh. You got to change your hair back to black, first of all, like a man, like a real man. Your hair need to be black. You're tripping, man. You're tripping, and I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why you don't have what you need. I don't know. You I mean, DeAndre, you're not the first player to be caught with weed. You won't be the last. But you got to put yourself in better positions. And this is how I'm coming at you. I'm coming at you. I could go off on you, but I see potential in you. I see potential in you on that field. So I could go off. I usually use these weekly rants to, like, straight snap on people, right? But I'm not going to do – I'm not gonna straight snap on you, but you're a dumbass. You are a dumbass. You're not that smart. You're really not that smart. And you need to get you a new girlfriend. She needs to get her new boyfriend. Y'all are in an unhealthy relationship, from domestic violence to all these other things. And I don't know. I don't know. You got to be smart. You got to be smart, and you're not being smart. Leave the damn weed alone. Stop being a dumb bitch. Stop being a dumb bitch. Leave the weed alone. You don't need weed to be a good player. I understand weed can be used for medicinal purposes if you're feeling hurt and all that stuff. And it's better than the pills. You know, like we talked about last week with Martellus Bennett, it's better than those pills, but weed ain't something that you can be using like that right now. So be smart, man. Stop being stupid, man. Get you a new girlfriend. Get you a new girlfriend. Lindsay, get you a new boyfriend. Y'all two shouldn't be together. Y'all two ain't there. Y'all relationship is stupid. Y'all relationship is stupid as shit. First, you got domestic violence going on. Then he going to throw all the weed charges on you. Stop doing that fuck shit. Turn your hair back black, DeAndre. Get you some new friends. Get you a new girlfriend. Leave the weed alone for right now. And do what you need to do. It ain't mine. I can't smoke right now. So you telling everybody you do smoke, just not right now. That was the dumbest thing you could have said. I do smoke, but right now I can't smoke. Come on, man. Stop being a dumbass. That was one of the dumbest things you could have ever said. I do smoke, but just not right now. You a dumbass, DeAndre. And you need to grow the fuck up. You have potential to be great. I'm telling you this, bro, from what I've seen from you on this field, you have the potential to be great. But you also got the potential to fuck everything up, being a dumbass. Stop being stupid. I'm telling you, stop being fucking stupid, man, and be a smart person. Take your future serious. Take your opportunity serious. A motherfucker like me would love to be, when I was in college, would love to be in the goddamn position that your dumbass is in playing football. I bust my ass on that field in high school. I bust my ass to try to get to FAMU and play football. I bust my ass. I did shit I didn't have to do. I bust my motherfucking ass getting up every morning working out and doing shit I didn't have to do for myself. And it didn't work out for me. For people like you, if it's working out for you, take advantage of your fucking situation and stop being fucking stupid, man. You already got black men on your ass. Stop being stupid and be the best that you can be. Black excellence, man. Be black excellence. Don't be a black fuckboy. Don't join the future fuckboys of America, even though I see you filling out the application. I seen your application for the future fuckboys of America with these goddamn stupid-ass actions that you have, man. Stop being a stupid fuckboy. Grow the fuck up. Get you some new friends. You in Tallahassee, and you live on Laponia Drive. That's not too far from me. If you need a good person to hang out, you can hang out with me, DeAndre. Me and you can hang out. I guarantee you, you ain't going to get no trouble hanging out with me because I don't do enough to get in trouble because I go to work and I come home and I go to work again. Because this podcast network, The Freedom Train, the Black America's premier media outlet is here, and I'm building it, and we got to go on. But y'all motherfuckers got to stop being stupid. Y'all young college football boys, having freedom don't mean being a dumbass. Accountability is a motherfucker, man. And y'all boys got to learn. But us OGs do got to make sure we are stealing the things in you, and hopefully Coach Taggart can get everything reined in. But it's not his job to make y'all boys stop being dumbasses. And DeAndre, stop being the fuckboy, stop being a dumbass, and get you a new girlfriend so you can stop throwing her ass up under the bus. And Lindsay, get you a new man so he can stop throwing your ass up under the bus and you won't have no more domestic violence situations, because that shit shouldn't have happened in the first place. Y'all grow the fuck up. And that's all I got to say about that, man. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. You know me, Joseph Ward. the host of the Fit Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your life. Audio Shop Talk. Remember, man, visit us on www.freedomtrainradio.com. Freedom Train Network, Black America's premier media outlet, media source, right? Media designed to free your mind. www.freedomtrainradio.com. Just a quick rundown. Every Monday, you get the Fit Sports Podcast, what you're listening to right now. Every Wednesday, you get the Freedom Train podcast series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. Every Thursday, you get Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. Every Friday, you get the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. Every Saturday, you get Tea Time, Black Women Talk, as well as the podcast of On the Shoulders of Giants. So, hey, man, that's how we do it. That's how we get down. That's how we keep it real. You know, my weekly rants are not always to go off on people, but I do like going off on people. So fuck Laura Ingraham and all these other people like that. And we're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going. I appreciate all the fans of The Fix. And, man, we talk about sports the way we talk about it. And if you don't like the way we talk about it, you go listen to goddamn Bill Simmons or somebody like that. But we keep it down over there. Fix, man. The Fix. It's The Fix. It's The Fix. www.freedomtrainradio.com.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me.